You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to the heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Leah Eaton, and as always, we're broadcasting live out of the back of Roberta's. I'm in the studio today with Valentina Rice, the founder of Many Kitchens, a pretty cool online marketplace and community for artisan food producers. We also have Jeff Martin on the line, one of the siblings behind Pip Snacks, a mini hullless popcorn. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Is Jeff here too?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
Welcome.
How are you doing, Val?
Well, great. We brought you guys in today to talk a little bit about some of the opportunities and some of the challenges of being a small food producer today. But before we kind of dive into that that conversation, I wanted to get a little bit of background on you guys and kind of how you came together. So, Jeff, it seems like Pip Snacks has been around for just about a year or so, but it's been a pretty monumental year, if I can say so. But for those who aren't familiar with your product, can you give us a really quick 101 on the Pipcorn popcorn?
Yeah, of course. So we started this company in April of last year. It's just my sister and myself, and I guess right now I'm looking at my mom. She's here helping out. My dad comes all the time. So it really is like a very small thing, but essentially the actual kernel that you pop is a little bit smaller, a little bit more delicate on your teeth, a little bit easier to digest. So it looks like popcorn, tastes like popcorn, but it's a little bit smaller, a little bit more delicate, a little bit kind of, you know, it's just a little bit different than the ordinary popcorn you're used to seeing.
Okay, and Valentina, they've been on your site on Many Kitchens since the beginning. Kind of give us a little bit of history of how you guys found each other and what made this a good match for you and for them.
Well, we love the story. I mean, we met Jeff and Jen at the Paper Mag Market last year, just as we were beginning to launch, and they've been with us since the absolute inception, when we just had a PDF of a mock-up of a site and really didn't have much to show, but they stuck with us. And we just loved their story. We, of course, loved their product. It was absolutely delicious, so it fit absolutely perfectly with what we were trying to do, which is find small batch producers who were growing. We didn't know yet then that they were about to hit the massive time with Oprah just a few months later.
But we'll get to that in a moment, yeah. Everyone.
Sorry, just to spoil the surprise.
Teaser alert, yeah.
But so yeah, we've been with them since they've been with us since the beginning, and it's just been the most incredibly successful for us anyway, and rewarding partnership.
Right. Well, you gave away the surprise. I think that is something really exciting. I mean, Pip Snacks has grown considerably since the last over the last year. You know, you're still this pretty young company, and you were named one of Oprah's favorite things in both 2012 and 2013. And I have to imagine that has some kind of impact.
It's a pretty huge. So I guess in 2012, when we got selected, we were only a couple months into the job. We had just started. We actually met the people from the magazine maybe 2 months after we launched. They came to the market we were working at, and kind of came by just looking for different products to include, you know, for that year. And it was a really hot day, and we didn't know who they were, and we asked them to come under our tent just to get out of the sun for a minute. And it wound up being a scout for you know, her, the big O list. So that was a huge shock. It was a kind of a back and forth for a couple of months, coming up with some ideas and kind of bouncing things off of them. And then they told us late in the summer that we got it, which was like insane. So now we're a company that's just like 4 or 5 months old. We're brand new. We have no idea what we're doing, but we're just kind of faking it until we make it. And then all of a sudden we have to like scale up to be able to, you know, ship 100 orders a day. And, you know, our website was crashing, and we were like, you know, taking in X number of orders per day and shipping half of that, and just like a huge backlog of orders to ship out, and all really great problems. But I kept telling people, like, if you have 30 or 40 really good problems, that's a huge, huge problem. So it's like we were just trying to kind of navigate and figure out how to do this, how to make, you know, like what makes the most sense, and how not to be one of those stories that gets featured and then goes out of business because it's just too much. That was like our goal.
Well,
That seems like a good goal. So I want to kind of delve into that a little bit. You kind of make that sound like a charmingly challenging, but kind of it just happened. So let's take a couple steps back and dig into some of those 30 problems that you had. Like, how do you scale up from a couple months old, maybe a couple orders, wherever you kind of were, to all of a sudden your site is crashing? Like, how does that impact the day to day of what you're doing? Whether it's hiring additional people or shifting your the space that you're in, or how does that impact your sourcing? Like, let's talk a little bit about what some of those challenges were and how did you kind of address them?
Yeah, sure. So just to give you a little bit of just to paint kind of an appropriate picture, before we got featured, we were popping in a shared kitchen in Harlem called Hot Bread Kitchen. It's like an incubator space, really small kitchens. We literally had like a 6-burner stove, and then we were popping in like spaghetti pots that we got from Restaurant Depot. So it was extremely embarrassingly small batch. We were in the kitchen all day for like 100 bags. So that's where we were. And then once we got featured, we had to get our own space because we needed 24-hour access. We needed to be able to pop in larger batches. So, I mean, to be honest, with an unbelievable amount of support from family and friends, we were able to get some new equipment and some free labor to come in and help us pack bags, ship bags. But we went from, buying maybe one 50-pound bag every couple weeks to buying, 2,000, 4,000 pounds of corn every week. We went from one box from UPS with a bunch of kernels to pallets. Olive oil, we would go from a couple bottles from the store to, getting just a ridiculous amount of olive oil and salt, 30-pound tubs. And so it was just trying to figure out how to not only scale the recipe so it tasted the same, but also scale the sourcing, where we got everything from to keep the prices as low as possible. All that kind of stuff. And also just to stay organized, It's like when you go from just working markets, a couple online orders here and there, it's pretty easy to stay organized. But when you're shipping a couple hundred packages a day, it's really difficult to not, you have to have everything in its place, or else, you never want someone to get the wrong thing. Like, you always want to give a great first impression. So trying to scale all of that at the same time was really challenging. Luckily, my sister Jen, who I think in a lot of ways we're very similar. Like, we both are very organized, but my way of organization is like putting everything in its place. And Jennifer's way of organizing is like she knows exactly where everything is at all times, but it looks like she would have no idea. So I think when we met in the middle, it was like the perfect balance of like organized chaos and like extreme organization, to the point where it just happened to work. Like, we get along very well. We work very well together. So it's really easy to kind of, like, you do this, I'll do this, we'll come back in an hour, we'll see where we are, we'll, do some more things, we'll call our parents, they'll come help us. So it was a lot of communication, a lot of working together. We also got three of the greatest employees you could ever ask for that stay late without ever saying a word. They work like crazy hours. They work on their feet all day, never complain. They're always smiles on their faces. So I think we got really lucky in that sense. But really, it's just a lot of hard work, putting your head down, making it happen, because not doing it wasn't really an option for us. So we just kind of did it.
Right. I mean, that's just, it's incredible to think about. You faced all the challenges that a food company will face in the first, let's say, 5 years within a matter of a couple months.
And managed to keep the sense of humor, which I think is pretty key and rare.
Yeah. We were like a couple weeks in, we launched on April 28th, and we met the team from O Magazine in May. And then we were told that we got the first feature in 2012 in August. And then the show aired in November. So from April until, really from August until November, we had to come up with a way to source our holiday packaging, somehow get the price down as low as possible, which was worked out well because we had a guy in Brooklyn make our crates for it. For the holidays, we sell our popcorn in like a little wooden crate with 4 bags in it. And we found a kid in Brooklyn that he made furniture for a living and he had some time, so he made us some crates. So we had, we just checked that off the list. And it's like, how do we go from buying a couple kernels to buying pallets of kernels? We just did that, checked it off. So it was really just making massive lists and not going to sleep until we crossed off, say, 40 things that day. And it's like every day just cross off 40 things, and then eventually you'll get down to the bottom, and then, maybe it all meshes. So we were kind of just like hoping it worked. And in our case, we worked really, really hard, and we got lucky a couple times here and there, and it worked.
Right. And, you know, you kind of, you talk about the how lucky you were to have the support of family and friends and kind of people around you. But one of the things that I think is really interesting is when, you know, I think about many kitchens and the role that they play with food producers in terms of being that kind of supportive community. You are also part of many kitchens. And I'm wondering if you guys can talk a little bit about, as you were growing, the role of the relationship with, you know, Valentina, with the other food producers that she works with. Kind of give us a sense of how have some of those relationships helped you to make some of those decisions, to learn how to go about doing, you know, making these changes very, very quickly.
I guess since we met Val, Val's made our lives so much easier. Val and her whole team, in my opinion, there's no better place
she's
to go.
She's blushing here.
She's the best. I mean, honestly, we work with a lot of people that are, I'm sure, nice people in their own lives, but are just not the easiest people to work with. So it's always a nice point in our day when we are like, oh, you know what, we have a question for Val, and we get to call Val. It's like, she's always happy, always laughing with us. So it's always a relief in our day to be able to call Val or go visit Val and kind of just like work through issues here and there. So first and foremost, she's the best. But I think that what she's done is just create a really great environment for people to learn from each other, to kind of grow together. You know, like we had Val had the first, like, you know, like entrepreneur kind of exchange where she invited, you know, whoever was local in the area at the time to come down and kind of talk about what's going on and, you know, like how we can work together to, you know, accomplish A, B, and C. And if, you know, does it make sense to, you know, kind of collaborate on this and save money here, or, you know, work on distribution there. And it's really nice because at the end of the day, you know, like when we all got in the same room together, we realized that, you know, we're under 2 years old and some companies have been around for 6-7 years, some are just getting going, but it's all the same problems. So it doesn't really matter if you've been around forever or if you're brand new, it's really just the same stuff, just maybe the scale's a little bit different. So I think to get in the same room with people, you know, for her to be able to set it up where she just, you know, sends an email and people just come, and then we can all kind of bounce ideas off each other and kind of, and even if nothing else, just to vent about like what's going on in our world. It's just really nice to be part of that community, which we didn't really have that before joining Many Kitchens. So it's really nice just to not have to, you know, I mean, for us, we have no time. So like, we don't have to be sending emails and trying to get together with people. You know, Val can send one email, get a whole group of people together, and we can just like figure things out. You know, like we're all doing the same thing. So I think that is like the nicest part, to be part of like such a great, really hardworking, really, really smart, really, you know, it's like such a really like just very, very nice community. Everyone's super supportive. So that's helped us out way more than I can even express. Aside from that, just, you know, Val's taken a huge load off of our plate by doing all of our stuff for us online. You know, she's great at it. We get a lot of compliments on how easy it is to work with her, and people don't realize it's not us. And we have to kind of tell them, and then, it's also nice that, like, people can come for Pipcorn and get, you know, leave with a pot pie or leave with some honey or, you know, leave with something that another producer made. So I think it's just such a great collaborative environment that was created so quickly. It's like she's, you know, really doing something amazing.
Well, Valentina, I'd like to hear a little bit more about this first meetup that you had, because, I mean, it's something that we've talked about before. We've had you in the studio previously. Give us kind of a lay of the land of how that went. What were you hoping to get from that, and kind of how did it, what did you actually get to see there?
Okay, well, first I need to stop crying. Nice things that Jeff just said. But yeah, it was as early as our launch party that I saw, we had producers and investors and everyone come, and I saw people talking to each other, the producers who hadn't met, and some, as Jeff was saying, had just started out, and it was fascinating. They all clearly had the same operational issues, wanted to just talk through stuff, just like a support group. But I also noticed how many use the same jars, how many use the same boxes, ice packs in the summer, that kind of thing. So we had our first Many Kitchens meetup last month, and it was so great that Jeff was able to come. I did have to force him to come, but he was really pleased he came, I think. And he was a great, great resource to have there, because he's, you know, one of the great examples of someone who's grown so quickly and who's faced those challenges and actually come through the other side. So it was just wonderful to have... to see round the room everyone talking and everyone getting excited, and it was really rewarding for me just to see that and the ideas that came out of it and things that we're actually going to follow through with. We'll have our next one in February, and just to try and get as many of the group as possible together and realize that there are ways that we can all work together, even if it's just using the same boxes or sourcing something or finding, you know, there are so many ways that everyone can help each other more than just an emotional support, which I think is also incredibly useful for everyone. So it was a wonderful evening. I couldn't have been happier, and I can't wait for the next one.
Very nice. Very nice. So I want to talk a little bit about distribution. You know, you've talked a little bit about, Jeff, as your company has grown, you're in front of this like very wide, very new audience. But it's interesting. I've seen that your product is in a number of kind of brick and mortar, retailers. You're at, you know, Smorgasburg. You're also on like online marketplaces like Many Kitchens, of course, fab.com, a couple other ones. And I'm wondering sort of as a business owner, how have you and your sister made choices around where you want to distribute your product and kind of the differences between working with a brick and mortar or this online marketplace? Does it feel different for you? Are there different kind of logistical decisions to be made there?
Yeah, I think so. So I think in the beginning it was just like, whoever will take us, we'll deliver it. You know, we'll do everything we can do to make sure it sells. It was like we were brand new, you know, so we just wanted to be available. So that was like the number one goal. But now that we're a little bit older, maybe a little bit wiser, we're trying to kind of go at it a little bit differently maybe and try to figure out, I mean, it gets difficult because at the end of the day, you only have so much time. So, you know, we kind of have to pick and choose and kind of figure out, like, where is this really going to work? You know, do we have time to bring it to this place? Because we still make all of our own deliveries. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we're trying to figure out the best places to be for really just for like the Pipcorn brand. So it's kind of it, like we're still in a lot of those like brick, you know, really small kind of one-off stores in Brooklyn, and really those are some of our absolute best stores. But now we just got into the Whole Foods network a couple months ago, so we're really focusing a lot of attention on growing that relationship and kind of getting out there within the Whole Foods in the region. So it's really kind of like very, very different. You know, like the smaller stores, you make your own deliveries. It's a couple boxes here and there. You know, we have a 10-case minimum, which nobody listens to, and we're fine to kind of waive it for all, you know, all of it. Because at the end of the day, like, these are all of our friends now. Like, we're there all the time. So, you know, like, when I go to Green Grape, like, I go and see Betsy, and she gives me, you know, honey if I have a cold. So it's like one of those, like, things now where it's like we're just going to see our friends. So that's very different than when you go to Whole Foods and it's like, you know, you go, like, for example, when you go to Whole Foods Columbus Circle for a delivery, you're pulling into, like, the receiving area of, like, the huge Time Warner Center, tons of security, there's trucks everywhere, and we have, like, this little van just, like, backing it up next to, like, these enormous, you know, like, food distributors or party planning people for some event going on. So it's very different. You have to go through 6 or 7 levels to get there. So it's really, really different. They're both good, and they're both stressful. They're both frustrating. They're both really rewarding. You know, it's just we're so young and we're growing so quickly that we still kind of have our hands in both jars for now, which is it's a little bit different, but it's working. And until it doesn't work, I think we're going to continue going on with it.
Right, and you know, Valentina, that seems to be the case for a number of the different producers that are on the Many Kitchens site. And you know, in some ways, you know, you sort of wonder, like, wouldn't a retailer or an online marketplace be looking for sort of an exclusive distribution deal, or this idea that we want to be in control of the brand or the producers that we're working with? That doesn't seem to be the case for kind of the realities of the food producers right now. And I'm wondering, you know, how does that, like, plethora of distribution channels work for Many Kitchens? Where is your role within that?
Well, we see our role so much as supporting our producers and trying to promote them, and in many instances trying to get a national audience for them. So we've never really wanted to have those exclusive deals because we want to see the producers grow. So we want to do just much more than just sell online.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that you do is really sort of tell their stories, both through through the through your website, through the visuals, through the bios, through the marketing, the promotion. And one of the things that I love about Pip Snacks is just your really cool design. The crates you've talked about, the visual design, it really kind of stands out. So Jeff, can you talk a little bit about how you and your sister have thought about using using the design of both your packaging, your brand logo to tell your story, and also thinking about this being in front of this large audience in terms of like Oprah's audience and Whole Foods audience, how do you sort of use that design, that logo, that brand to control your identity as you start to get into these much larger spaces?
Yeah, sure. So when we first started going, we always knew we wanted something a little bit different. We didn't want a big, shiny, bag that is like what everybody else is doing. We wanted something that's like a little bit more intriguing. Like, you see it, you kind of know what it is, but it looks like something you want to pick up. And we kind of always thought that, like, if somebody would pick it up, like, there's a 50-50 chance they'll put it in their cart, but at least they picked it up. So, like, we wanted something that you want to hold. So we did so much research, and we spent so long on such a simple design. It looks like it could have been done in 5 minutes, and it took us months. So we really focused all of our energy on it for a long period of time until Jennifer finally said that we had to stop editing and just go with it. It's good. It's good. It works. We love it. Let's stop. Like it's just, we're wasting time at that point. So I said, okay, we went with it. And the design is one thing that we get comments on all the time. People are taking pictures of it. It's I think surprising and not surprising in a sense that we knew it was different. We knew it was cool. We knew people were looking for something kind of like this that wasn't just like a shiny, colorful bag. But it's also kind of crazy. Like, we created this. So it's really, really wild to see people like picking it up and buying it and talking about it. And so, like, that whole thing is kind of crazy. But I think the nice thing is we took the time to build a brand, which is what we wanted to do from the beginning. We didn't want to just release a product that we didn't really know what it was or where it was going to be. We really took the time to figure out what we were before we even packaged anything. So I think that is now starting to pay off a little bit, where, like the Whole Foods can see that there's like some brand equity that's been built, and they, mm-hmm. Are looking to, kind of roll us out into more and more stores as the opportunities come up. So I'm not sure that would happen otherwise. So I think we definitely rely on the brand a little bit. Like when we go into meetings, it's starting to become a little bit more recognizable, which is crazy to say, because it's like we're so far in it, it's kind of hard to step back and realize that like this is something that we started from a bunch of kernels in Jennifer's apartment in Chicago. But I don't know. I think that the brand, like we were always obsessed with creating a brand, creating something that people want to be associated with, and people want to have it seen in their cart, and people want to have it seen, in their arms walking down the street. So that might be a little far-fetched, but we were just kind of obsessed with the idea of creating something that people wanted to like. And if they wanted to like it, maybe they would tell friends, and they would tell friends, and we were hoping it would kind of go that way. So I think that's why we spent the majority of our time early on creating this very simple, very straightforward, very, plain refined is what it is, but that's kind of what we were hoping for, and I think we're slowly getting there.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. That's that refined plane. I like that.
Right? It's like I don't really know what to call it.
The shabby chic,
Super cool.
Yeah, there it is.
So for both Many Kitchens as well as Pip Snacks, you guys are probably deep within the holiday insanity.
Yeah, I think
prep.
I speak to Jeff and Jen about, well, Jen definitely about 4 or 5 times a day at the moment. It's crazy.
So tell me about some of those conversations. Joe Valentina, you're working with, 30 plus food producers. The holiday season is an extremely busy time for all businesses, but certainly for, food producers who are looking to kind of get into whether it's holiday markets or, gifts under, everyone's, under everyone's nose. Tell me a little bit about like kind of what happens as the holiday surge starts. Like what happens differently in your business model?
Well, just It's me and Aurora, who's here somewhere, who just, it's sort of 24 hours a day, as I know Jeff and Jenna. I mean, we speak at really odd hours sometimes. But it's, some, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize when they're placing an order that, and they're having a problem, so they send an email to info at Many Kitchens, and then I say, give me a call. And I don't think they realize that they're actually calling me in my apartment, so I've got calls at 11 o'clock at night saying, you know, I just received my thing, and la, 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 la. I don't think people realize. I think they think there's a switchboard in God knows where, but it's just me in my apartment still at the moment. And it's amazing. I'm talking to people all across the country about the strangest things. You know, is the popcorn gluten-free? Is the pie okay to eat after 3 days? And the strangest questions from everyone. And then we were talking earlier, Leah, about the strangest and sweetest gift notes that we're seeing as the holiday season wraps up. We, especially Jeff and Jen's crate, which is such a hugely successful Christmas gift for everyone. People can add gift notes, which we send on to Jeff and Jen. And some of them are just so adorable, they break my heart. They were lovely. So we have fun reading the gift notes.
So you're reading everyone's private gift
messages. I know,
messages. Sorry.
I saw that. I do feel quite invasive, but they're so lovely, some of them. So it's very nice knowing that people are sending things around the country to their loved ones, and popcorn's just such a perfect gift.
Mm-hmm. And so, Jeff, you know, obviously I would imagine the biggest impact is just the number game that you're working with, the increased amount of orders and things. But tell us a little bit about, you know, as you're looking to prepare for the holiday season, what do you need to do to make sure that you're able to fulfill those additional orders? Like, are you, you know, making changes in whether it's the number of people you're working with, or the kinds of equipment you're using, or, you know, are you bringing in all your friends and family, you know, plying them with pizzas and beer? Kind of, what does the holiday season look like for you?
Yeah, I think that you kind of nailed it with all of those. It's really all of those things. I think the most important thing, which sounds crazy and a little stupid, is that we have to make sure we always have corn and olive oil and sea salt. And that's way harder than it sounds. It's like, you know, there's been days where we come into the office and we have, like, none of those. And it's like the three things we need, the only three things we need, we don't have that day. So we have to, like, you know, send stuff express and all that jazz, which is always a little crazy. But I think making sure you have everything is the most important. I mean, it's always good to have a really great support system, which we're incredibly fortunate to have. But we've also brought in some additional people. We have gotten some new equipment, which is really, really helpful. We've gotten some equipment that's a little bit easier to use. So we have to spend a lot less time training people and a lot less time kind of trying to figure out the machine. It's really just you, like, flip a switch and it works every time, which is really great. So I think it's a little bit of everything. It's like a huge juggling act that doesn't always really work out the way you want it to. But I think for us, we just try really, really hard not to get stressed and crazy, because we wind up getting upset with each other and nothing gets done. So, you know, if we're having like a really horrible 3 hours or 4 hours, we'll just go grab something to eat. Probably won't say a word to each other during lunch and then come back and we'll be fine again. You know, that's like the beauty, I think, of working with my sister, is that we're both really passionate and like we work really, really hard. So we're always exhausted, but we kind of are able to separate what's going on at work, what's going on outside of work, this stress, that stress. You know, it's just one, like when we're here, we're working, we're laughing. And I think it shows in the product. You know, I think it really shows that we love what we do, and we love being here. We love, like, we share a desk. You know, we've shared a desk since April of last year, and we're not sick of each other yet, which is kind of a miracle. But it's just, I mean, it's just working, you know. And, like my dad's on the way now. My mom's here now. We're going to be packing boxes all night long, you know. But there's nothing else in the world I'd rather be doing. I told Jennifer early on, if this wasn't our company, I would have quit 15 minutes in. It's the most challenging thing I've ever done in my whole life, but there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. There's no one else I'd rather be doing it with. It's just a blast.
It does come clear. I did a very short list of that thing last week, and I used Jeff and Jen as an example of people who've left their lives and sort of following their passion, and I had to do it in one line, but it was that they've never worked so hard or had so much fun, which is just so clear whenever you see them, that they just enjoy their company, each other's company so much, but yet they're working so hard. And they still keep a smile on their face. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of part of the power of using that story of, you know, who's behind the product to really sell what's going on. And it's not just about a really tasty, really cute little popcorn, but it's about, you know, your lives and kind of what you're putting into this company. So I like being able to kind of see that the power of those stories of the food producers you're working with.
Yeah, we really wanted to tell those stories because they're so inspirational. So many of them, like me, had left their lives in the corporate world to follow their dreams. I think people love hearing where their food comes from, who makes it, and seeing photographs of them, hearing their stories. It's sort of an extra.
Right. Well, we are just about out of time, but I know, of course, people can find Pip Snacks on manykitchens.com, along with all sorts of other really amazing producers. But Valentina, you're also going to be, for those who are local to the New York area, you're also going to be at some of the holiday marks.
We're at the Brooklyn markets. Night Bazaar on Friday the 13th, which is at 165 Banker Street in Brooklyn. It's from 6 to midnight, and there's going to be loads of great vendors there. We'll have our special themed gift boxes and a bunch of other stuff from our producers we'll be selling there, so free shipping because you can pick it up. But yeah, come visit us there, and it'd be great to meet everyone.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff and Valentina, thank you guys so much for being here today. It's been great chatting with you both. I'm Leah Eden for heritageradionetwork.org. You can find more of our programming, our 30 live weekly shows at heritageradionetwork.org. You can download us on iTunes, Stitcher, and please, everyone, if you like what you hear, you can support us by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org, click that donate tab to become a member. Thank you all so much for listening, and keep coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.